I once again welcome you to the Journey Home Outreach Ministry Bible Study. This is Lesson 23 from the Messages of the Bible series. I am Elder Faye and I am your teacher for this series. This is just a reminder that these Bible studies not only acquaint you with the stories of the Bible, but also reveal the messages God has for us within these stories. This particular Bible study definitely has a message that is most needed today. Have you listened to the news recently? If you have, you like most of us are feeling frustration, anxiety, and fear. We try to carry on like things are normal, but deep down inside we know that something is amiss. Something is just not right in our immediate surrounding, but we have this deep down feeling that things are not right with the entire world. Each morning we wake up with bad news, gun violence, where our preteens and teenagers are being murdered in the street, in the homes and school each and every day. Our babies and little ones are being attacked by this norovirus that is making them sick and taking their lives. There's still the threat of the AIDS virus, and most recently the deadly Ebola virus outbreak that is threatening the entire population of mankind. And there are no cures for these diseases. In times like these, how does a believer stay focused? How do we know for certain that all is well and that we have protection from all that is happening according to the promises of God? Well, in this Bible study, we will be focusing on two powerful actions we can take that will help us get through these challenging times. They are fasting coupled with prayer. I know that fasting is not the most popular thing most of us like to do because oftentimes we're not just successful at it. But these are desperate times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. You may be thinking that, well, I'm not quite desperate yet. But if you are feeling anxious, frantic, distress, or just somewhat distracted, or just preoccupied by all that is happening around you, then you are considered in a desperate state. But enough of the doom and gloom. This Bible study is designed to reinforce our hopes and give us courage to continue with our lives of spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order to continue with this great commission, we must stay focused. Fasting coupled with prayer is a great way to stay focused. We will focus first on prayer and then fasting, and ultimately we're going to bring both together to discover their awesome power. So let's listen as we begin with prayer. Prayer can only be effective if we know and believe in the promises of God. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, God promises us, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." Prayer is simply communicating with God. It requires both listening and talking to Him. Believers should learn to pray from their heart and with their own words and not words you've heard from somebody else. If you find sometimes that it is difficult to pray about anything, and we all do, learn what the early Christians prayed for and how they prayed for certain things. Learn to pray God's words back to Him. So it's important that you remember some promises you can remind God of. Like, Lord, in times like these, you promise in Psalms 91st chapter, verse 1 through 16, that he that dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Here God assures us that he who dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the Almighty's power of God, where no foreign adversary can withstand. It goes on to say, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the noisy pestilence. That word pestilence means the epidemics and the viruses and disease. So we are protected from that as long as we dwell under the shadows of the Almighty. He shall cover us with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust and find refuge. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. This truth and faithfulness are the shields and the buckler that He provides us with. This shield and buckler is one of the armors of God mentioned in our last Bible study. When you really study your Bible, you will find that the entire book is connected, and that connection is about us to Jesus, and it is all for our good. Oh God, I love this book. I tell you that the greatest love affair you can ever have is the one between you and God's Word, which is God Himself. Believe me, this is a relationship that literally take you out of this world while you're still physically here on earth. Ooh, what an awesome thought. Let's continue. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked. It means you shall safely stand there and witness the wicked being punished. My God. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Meaning none of these diseases, misfortunes, and tragedies will come near you. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear you up in their hands in case you, in your rush, you lose your foothold and stumble. You shall tread upon the lion, which is considered a killer, and the adder, which is a small venomous snake. So the killer and the serpent you shall crush under your feet. Because He has set His love upon you, therefore He will deliver you. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. To know His name means you have knowledge of His mercy, love, and kindness. So you trust and relies on Him, knowing He will never leave you nor forsake you. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. My God. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And may he's going to show you his delivering power. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah, the 26th chapter, the 3rd verse, Isaiah reminded God, You said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Remember those promises and repeat them back to God. In Ecclesiastes, the 1st chapter, the 9th verse, tells us, What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So the same situations the early believers experienced are the same things we are faced with today and the same things that future Christians will be faced with until Christ returns. So let's listen as we explore some of the early Christians' concerns and how they dealt with them in prayer. It's prayer and fasting. In James, the 5th chapter, the verses 13 to 20, Is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. In James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, tells us that we should confess our faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, let's take another look at the above words just to get a better understanding of them. That word effectual means successful. That word fervent, passionate, availeth means profit. So let me paraphrase that for you and see the real, you're going to get a whole different meaning. It says the successful, passionate prayers of a righteous man profit much. Okay. The successful, passionate. We got to be passionate with our prayers. Of a righteous man, profit much. Okay, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a passionate prayer. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth in the space of 3 years. That's what a passionate prayer can do for you. 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Ooh. So, we really have nothing to fear when we anchor ourselves in the security of the promises of God. It is there where we need to be for our prayers to become effectual and favorite. That is when they avail it much. It is then we are successful in achieving the things we are praying for. So we see from the passages above how powerful prayer is. But what makes prayer so different when we couple it with fasting? Remember, God is a spirit, and all we do must be approached spiritually. So our fast must have a spiritual purpose. We must make it a spiritual fast. Let's first get out of the way what spiritual fasting is not. Spiritual fasting is not a way to earn God's favor by getting him to do something for us. Rather, the purpose is to redirect our focus from earthly things toward God. Although we may experience weight loss as a result of fasting, remember, dieting is not the purpose of a spiritual fast. In Matthew's the 6th chapter, the 6th to the 18th verse, Jesus specifically instructed us to let our fasting be done privately and in humility. Else we forfeit, that means we lose the benefits. So fasting is not to be a public display of your spirituality, showing how spiritual you are by your fasting. It is between you and God. Now that we know what spiritual fasting is not, just what is spiritual fasting? Listen closely. A spiritual fast is for most of the time is going to involve abstaining from food while focusing on prayer. That's what it's supposed to be about. This is what brings the two together. The fasting part help you to stay focused on your praying. It's not your fasting that moves God. It's your effective, fervent prayers that move God. The fasting is to help you stay focused on these prayers. And this could mean cutting out those snacks between meals, skipping one or two meals a day, abstaining from only certain foods, or a total fast from all foods for an entire day or longer. That's what a fasting is. Abstaining from things. Okay. Before we continue, though, we need to get some guidelines. Or to put it more bluntly, we need to use common sense when we fast. And what do I mean by that? It is very unwise to try and fast if your doctor has prescribed medication that you need to take at certain times during the day. It is highly recommended, and I repeat this. It is highly recommended that you seek medical counseling before you start on any type of fast, especially for an entire extended period of time. So, for medical reasons, some people may not be able to fast from food altogether. They may cut out something other than food. In fact, believers can fast from anything that moves them from the negative to the positive and ultimately to the spiritual. Fasting gives us the self-control and discipline to direct our hunger, not for food, but for God, allowing us to see God more clearly. We shouldn't even be thinking about food when we're fasting and praying. We should be focused on God Himself and who He is and what He can do. Okay, let's go on. Let's take for instance, we can fast from doing without something such as watching television, or fast from negative thinking about other people, or fasting from negative thinking about other people and passing that negative thoughts about other people to other people, meaning gossiping. We can fast from gossiping. And these are also things that will redirect our focus from earthly things toward God. And they are also habits that will benefit our spiritual and physical health long after the fast is over. In Acts, the 27th chapter, the 33rd to the 34th verse, listen to Paul as he advised his followers if they were trapped on this sinking ship. Paul told them, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. In 3 John, the first chapter, I think it's verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Therefore, our health also should be taken under consideration during a fast. So our fast is for our health, is for the health of the whole you, body, mind, and spirit." Punishing yourself before God will not persuade God to move in your favor. It is not. So you can starve and not take your medication, and that's just until you fall out. It doesn't mean anything to God. It's that He's not going to move in your favor that much more than it is the effectual favorite prayers of the righteous that avail much. It is your prayers, your earnest, sincere prayers to God. So what actually happens when fasting and praying is done successfully together? Okay, let's listen to some early Christian experience. In Matthew the 17th chapter, the 21st verse, when Jesus healed the boy who was demon-possessed, the boy's father mentioned that he had taken him to his disciples and they could not cure him. Jesus then rebuked the devil and the devil departed from him, and the child was cured that very same hour. But afterwards, he was alone with the disciples. He explained to them how be it. Nevertheless, this kind goes not out but by what? Fasting and praying. Awesome. I'm going to use an example in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9. Of the power of fasting and praying. And I'm going to have to encourage you to read this entire chapter. The 9th chapter of Daniel. Because I'll only give you a snippet of what happened. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, in Daniel's days, the people of God had gone astray and had become estranged from God, ignoring God's promises of punishment if they did not turn from their evil ways. But Daniel was the one that looked back and remembered. He saw what was happening to his people, and he remembered the God who could restore them. So let's listen to his confession. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. God immediately answered Daniel's prayer. He sent him a message. Listen, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skills to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. And he then gave Daniel instructions of what he should do for the people to restore to God's favor. And I want to go back and remind you of something here that I read. He said, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. Whenever we decide, okay, I've gone far enough, and the moment you turn to God, he snaps, and he turns to you first. So when we start honestly and favorably praying about something, God listens. He's going to turn around. And by the time you get through with your fasted prayer, your prayers will most of the times be answered. And then you just have to walk into it. That's a whole nother Bible study. So let's continue. So Daniel's fasting prayer, he gave his people another chance. And the above instances are evidence that fasting coupled with prayer does work. When we learn to fast, pray, and wait, what we are hoping for will manifest. How? Because of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we have learned to rely on our faith, which is the assurance, which is the guarantee of things hoped for, and the evidence, the proof of things unseen. We need to meditate on this verse daily. We really do. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. You need to stay with that Hebrews 11 chapter verse 1 until you get it. It's the assurance. Faith is what we need with our prayers. We need faith in God's promises and faith in our prayers, because it is the assurance of things we are hoping for, and it is the evidence of the things we do not see. So until our next Bible study, I leave you with this blessing on your life. It comes from Numbers, the 6th chapter, the 24th to 26th verse. It says, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you peace. Amen.